Welcome to Ringside with AFG, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster here at Mile High Sports. I am coming to you with the third of three episodes that I've recorded here on Trade Deadline Day. The first one was about Brock Nelson, the second one about Charlie Coyle, the third one, the one that requires the least amount of homework, is about Eric Johnson. We're going to talk about something else that happened around the NHL. You can probably guess what it is. But first, we're going to talk about what is the feel-good, feel-great story of the trade deadline. The Avalanche are bringing back Eric Johnson, acquiring him from the Philadelphia Flyers for forward AHLer Giovanni Smith, who the Avalanche got in the trade for Mackenzie Blackwood and Alexander Georgiev back in December. However, the most important part is Eric frickin' Johnson is coming back home. Is Eric Johnson the same player he was in the Avs won the Cup? Absolutely not. The same player he was in 2023 when he had already taken a step back? Absolutely not. Eric Johnson has played just 22 games for the Flyers this year. He's not the same guy. Like that, I can't stress that enough. He's only played 22 games. He's got a goal. He's got two assists. His ice time has dropped immensely. He actually hasn't played since February 8th. It's been a month. He's been healthy scratched here in these last few games. 4 games ago, on February 2nd, he suited up for the Philadelphia Flyers here in Denver against the Colorado Avalanche, where he played 10 minutes. So what the Avalanche are basically doing here, in a season where there were a lot of trades, in a season where they've got now, heading into the playoffs and to the stretch run ahead of the playoffs, 5 defensemen that you can trust on any given night to play big minutes. Granted, one of them's a little injured, and that's a little bit of a worry in Josh Manson. But you got Cale Makar, Devon Taves, Sam Girard, Ryan Lindgren, and then Josh Manson. And I say Manson fifth because I think the other 4 guys are all capable of playing above 20 minutes every single night. Josh Manson, right a little bit lower than that, maybe 17, 18. And then your number 6 guy, whether it's Sam Malinsky, Keaton Middleton, or Eric Johnson, isn't going to see a lot of ice time. But what you're going to get in EJ is a guy who, even if he doesn't play every night, even if he doesn't get a lot of ice time when he plays, most importantly, he is going to be, as Nathan MacKinnon put it, the best guy in the room. EJ coming back to the Avalanche, I don't want to say it's a vibes move, but it is a huge vibes move. It's a huge addition to the locker room. It's a guy that they have missed immensely. I have talked about this if you listen to these shows over the last season. I have talked over and over again about how 3 guys meant the world to Nathan MacKinnon as those veterans that he respects. One of them is Andrew Cogliano, who's now part of the organization in a front office position. The other one is Gabriel Landeskog, who's got a documentary coming out and who hasn't even played, obviously, in 3 years and hasn't even confirmed that he's going to play again. The third one is Eric Johnson, who left via free agency to the Buffalo Sabres, then Philly Flyers. Now he's back in Denver. Having him in the room is going to be huge. All of the guys, like there wasn't a single one, whether it was Cale Makar, Devon Taves, Logan O'Connor, Nathan MacKinnon, everybody was so happy to talk about him. I didn't personally see this, but Evan Rowell over at the Denver Gazette, the Colorado Gazette, tweeted that Devon Taves coming off the ice made the Condor signal. He did the Condor signal coming off the ice. They are so happy to have this guy back. In a year where there has been so much turnover, bringing Eric Johnson and sticking him back into that locker room is going to be good for everybody's soul. He is such a loose guy. He's won with this team before. He was here for such a long time. He means the world to them. He's a guy that they need, especially given all the adversity they faced, especially given all of the things that have happened. There are no things that can come that are going to be wrong with having EJ back in that locker room. However, his role is the one that I'm really curious to see how it turns out to play out on the ice. I went into this trade deadline day after the Ryan Lindgren trade and even after the Brock Nelson trade wondering what the Avalanche were going to do about the blue line. It was the fact that they needed center depth still. And you know, I talked about that in the previous two episodes I recorded earlier in the day. And they went out and got both. They got Charlie Coyle and they got Brock Nelson. But they also needed one more defenseman. Like I said, Cale Makar, Devon Toews, Sam Girard, Josh Manson. They went out and got Ryan Lindgren. They got out of Calvin DeHaan. They got out of Oliver Shillington. The question was, where are they going to get out of Sam Malinsky, or were they going to keep him as a number six, number seven? They ended up keeping him. But at the same time, you just knew that having him as your only option as the number six guy probably wasn't going to be the best case scenario. And the reality is, he's still your sixth best guy. But number one, you've got Keaton Middleton, a guy that you can trust to play in very limited minutes. And now you have a guy in Eric Johnson who can do the same thing. Clearly, the Avalanche, at some point, they just couldn't fix every single issue on the roster. And it looks like the number six defenseman is one of those. Getting Josh Manson back is great. Granted, you hope he can stay healthy. Acquiring Ryan Lindgren was a massively big deal that they needed to make, and they made it. He's a minute munching defenseman that'll give you 20 plus minutes. But they couldn't fix all of their issues. So instead of going for nothing and just riding it out with Sam Malinsky and Keaton Middleton, they at least brought in another body who can give you similar minutes. Again, I would take Sam Malinsky, the hockey player, over Eric Johnson, the hockey player, in 2025. But Eric Johnson, the leader, Eric Johnson, the locker room guy, and Eric Johnson, even on the bench during a hard-fought game, could be of value. The intangibles of what he brings, even if he plays 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 minutes, is going to matter a hell of a lot more than just going out and trading a fifth-round draft pick for some other guy who's probably not going to give you much more than Sam Malinsky. As soon as it was clear that the Avalanche did not have the assets and did not have the ability, the salary cap space, all of that, to go out and get one more guy like Lindgren. So let's use an example like Charlie Coyle. Brandon Carlo. As soon as it was clear that they didn't have those assets anymore and the ability to make a move like that, I don't think you could have gone worse than bringing in EJ again. Even if he doesn't play, and even if Sam Malinsky plays, bringing him in ultimately for free to be that addition to the locker room and to be that addition to the lineup, I think is huge. About a month ago, well, actually about 6.5 weeks ago, the game before Mikko Rantanen was suddenly traded. Oh, and by the way, we're going to touch on him. The day before Mikko Rantanen was traded, I wrote about and I spoke about how the Avalanche's leadership group kind of like had lost their way. And one of those reasons were because Nathan MacKinnon just wasn't having a great time. And I talked about how there were all those veterans that just left the room. Whether it was Zach Parise and to a lesser extent Jack Johnson, and then obviously Andrew Cogliano, who MacKinnon respected immensely. And obviously Eric Johnson the year before that too. Like, there were so many veterans, and then of course the captain and Gabe Landeskog. There were so many veterans that left that room. Nathan MacKinnon needed this more than anything. He was really happy, like I said, to talk about him. So again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend Eric Johnson's going to come in and play 17 minutes like he did when they won the cup and give you, you know, big time play. That's not going to happen. What I am going to say is the way the Avalanche decided to go about the trade deadline after already acquiring Ryan Lindgren was prioritizing center depth. It wasn't just about getting rid of Mittelstadt and bringing in Brock Nelson, because then Jack Drury and Parker Kelly are still your third and fourth line centers. It looks a lot better when only one of those guys is your fourth line center and you bring in a Charlie Coyle. They prioritized that, and I understand why they did it. It made sense. In that, they basically were saying, we're going to have five strong defensemen and then a number six guy in a Sam Malinsky or a Keaton Middleton. this is the best we can do. And in that scenario, bringing in Eric Johnson was the right move. Not in a vacuum, he's the right move, but in this specific scenario where you pretty much do not have the assets, the cap space, and whatever to shore up that number six spot, nobody would have been a better choice than EJ. So it's going to be fun to have him back. Again, he's a vibes guy too. Like, that's going to be so much fun to have back in the room, especially with all the turnover. And I love that you can look at the roster now and you can look at who was on the team when they won the Stanley Cup. And instead of continuously eliminating names, you can finally add one back. I think it is hilarious. And I think it is so cool that even with all of the changes that this team has gone through, Nathan MacKinnon and Arturi Lehkonen on the top line were cup winners. Val Nichushkin on the second line was a cup winner. Logan O'Connor on the third line was a cup winner. That's it on the forwards. That's it. It's MacKinnon, it's Lehkonen, it's Nichushkin, and it's O'Connor. Everybody else changed. Both goaltenders changed. But I love that bringing Eric Johnson back means that when you look at the defense, they had seven guys who won them the Stanley Cup. Cale Makar, Devon Taves, Josh Manson, Samuel Girard, Eric Johnson, Jack Johnson. Those were the guys that won them the cup. Six of those guys are still in the organization. You still have Taves. You still have Makar. Sorry, and Bowen Byram. Five of the seven guys are still in the organization. You still have Taves. You still have Makar. You still have Girard. You still have Manson. You still have EJ. Jack Johnson left and came back. Obviously, Bowen Byram has been traded. The defense looks familiar. And if EJ plays, and let's just say it's Manson, Girard, EJ with Lindgren, five of your six defensemen were on that cup-winning team. Like, I would have never thought that, especially when you look at, like I said, the turnover the forward group has seen, the turnover the goaltending has seen. It's nice to bring back a familiar face in that sense. The last thing I want to touch on, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I think this is something that we can talk about in the coming weeks. We don't have to kind of blow all of our thoughts on it right off the bat. Mikko Rantanen is a member of the Dallas Stars, and he will be for the next 8+ years. And I'm going to talk a lot about this, and we're about 9 days away from Mikko and the Dallas Stars coming to Ball Arena. So that return is going to happen pretty freaking soon. So we're going to talk a lot about him then. But what I want to talk about today is the 6 weeks that led to him being in Dallas after being in Colorado, making a shortstop in Carolina. Number one, the Avalanche, in the grand scheme of things, made the right move. In hindsight, if you told them today, and if you gave Chris McFarland truth serum and said, on January 1st, if you could lock up Mikko Rantanen to an 8-year deal worth $12 million per season, would you do it? He probably would say on January 1st, yes. The Avalanche's best offer to Mikko Rantanen was 11.75. They never reached 12. But when they were offering 11.75, they were millions of dollars apart because Mikko's camp was looking for closer to $14 million per season. They wanted the Leon Draisaitl number, and if not the Draisaitl number, they at least wanted the Austin Matthews number, which is 13 and a quarter. They weren't going to get any of those from the Avalanche. So it wasn't like the Avalanche were offering 11.75 and Rantanen's camp was saying, how about 12? And the Avs were saying, no, take it or leave it. They could have bridged that gap. So when you read and when you remember and when you realize Mikko signed for $250,000 more than what the Avalanche's final offer was, it's not as easy as saying all the Avalanche had to do was raise it up $250,000. They offered 11.75. Mikko's camp wanted 13 plus. They were not budging off of that. The Avs couldn't come back and be like, how about 12? That wasn't going to change anything. So they made the move. They traded him. Mikko thought it was a bluff. He was surprised. He was shocked. The Carolina Hurricanes, I heard this today from Elliot Friedman, the Carolina Hurricanes at the time of the trade before it was made were given permission to talk to Mikko. And they reached out to Mikko in his camp and they said, if we trade for you, would you sign here? And he said, yeah, I'll consider it. However, Mikko did not think that that was actually going to lead to a trade. He thought it was a scare tactic from the Avalanche in order to get him locked up. So it is true that the trade caught him by surprise. That's not something that is inaccurate. He goes to Carolina, does not play well. Worst possible time. They have a 3-game homestand. They have the Four Nations break. They have a bunch of road games. He's learning a new system. The Hurricanes are pressuring him to sign. We need to sign you before March 7. The trade deadline's coming. He scores 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points. He's a -3 in 13 games. Like, he's less than a 40-point player with the Carolina Hurricanes over a full season. Like, he was nothing like the guy that he was with the Avs before the trade. The guy who was on pace for more than 40 goals, the guy who was on pace for more than 100 points, and that's with the fact that he only had 8 points in his last 10 games with the Avalanche. Like, this guy had 56 points in his first 39 games of the year. Like, that's crazy. Mikko had 56 points in his first 39 games. And in his last 23 games since, he's got 14 points. So nothing was going right in Carolina. They started to realize, we're going to need to flip him so we don't lose assets. They end up getting Logan Stankoven, a couple of first-round picks, a couple of third-round picks, with the contingency that, with the agreement that the Dallas Stars can speak to him about an extension and that the trade would be contingent on him signing that extension. And they got him locked up for 8 years, $12 million per. So he's back in the division. We're probably going to face him in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And if you're the Colorado Avalanche, you're not happy about that. But at the same time, it is what it is. Mikko wanted 13 plus from the Avalanche. He wanted 14 from the Avalanche. He couldn't get it. The Avalanche had to make a business decision, and they made one that they felt was best for them. They traded Mikko, they got Netches, they got Drury, they got some draft capital, they got some cap space, they got some flexibility, they got a couple more roster guys in. He goes to Carolina. They also don't offer him 13, 14, whatever it was. Doesn't fit there. Goes to Dallas. Now you've got a third cup contender not offering you that kind of money. He settled for 12. He did it in a no state tax place, which means he would have needed to make, I think it was $12.53 million with the Avalanche per season to have the same take-home pay as what he's going to have in Dallas, which 12.53 is still less than the 12.6 Nathan MacKinnon was making or is still making. So it took three teams for Mikko to realize, his camp to realize, he wasn't going to get as high a number as he thought. But he locked in with the one that he felt. Again, you give Nathan MacKinnon truth serum just like Chris McFarland. But if you give Nathan MacKinnon truth serum today and said on January 1st, if we told you you can lock in with the Avs or lock in with the Dallas Stars, which one would you choose? He would have chose the Avs. But this is where that's gone. This is where it's landed. And he'll be back in Denver in 9 days with Dallas. So we'll see how that plays out. But like I said, I only wanted to touch on this a little bit because we're going to talk a lot of Mikko Rantanen in about a week from now when the Dallas Stars are here in town to take on the Avs. So we're going to put an end to the show here. Episode 3 of my 3-episode series for the trade deadline. Going to catch up on some sleep. Going to get ready for the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless that pretty little heart of yours. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.